Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hilchos Beis Sabachida. This is the 82nd episode, and I apologize for our very late start. It's a very challenging day today, and I want to dedicate tonight's class to the memory of a young woman who just passed away a couple of hours ago. Her name was Naomi, the daughter of Chaim Halevi, her neshama should have an aliyah. And her neshama should find comfort in the Torah that we study together tonight, and we should all meet again. In the third Beit HaMikdash, B'mheira, Ubi Amenu, Amen. So tonight's class is called Honor Guard. And we're going to focus, Guard Duty. Honor Guard was last time. We're going to focus on the specific mandate of the Levite clan. In the previous episodes, we talked about the Kohanim and the special places in which they would guard or be present during the course of the night, and this was discussed at great length. What's the purpose of this guard? Why only at night? And I refer you back to the previous episodes. We're learning the laws of Beis HaBechira, the laws of God's chosen home. We're in the midst of the eighth chapter. In this class, we're going to begin the eighth halacha, which opens with the proverbial question, V'heichon hoyu halevim shomrim. So where did the Levites stand guard? Where was their duty? Where were they assigned to? And the Rambam begins to tell us, this is a direct quote from the beginning of Masechet Midot. Very interestingly, the Rambam incorporates into the eighth halacha. I think it's because the Rambam wants to first describe the essence of what this guard is all about. And the Kohanim are closer to the epicenter of the Beis HaMikdash and the idea of being mindful. And through that mindfulness, extending respect to the Beis HaMikdash is most powerfully and profoundly felt through the activities of the Kohanim, more so than the activities of the Levites, as we've discussed and perhaps we'll come back to. So now that we are up to the outer scrimmage, the Rambam is going to go to the further outer reach, which is the Har HaBayit itself, the proverbial Temple Mount, and I say proverbial pointedly, as I'll explain in a moment. And then the Levites have a guard duty which is closer to the Beis HaMikdash itself. But there'll be a big difference. One is inside and one is outside. So, first off, where did the Levites guard? Al Chamisha Sha'arei Har HaBayis. On the five gates of the Temple Mount. Now, it's very important for me to point out that when we're speaking about the Temple Mount, as the Rambam told us in the fifth chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, Vehu Har HaMoriah, this is known as Mount Moriah, Haya Chamesh Meot Amma, or Chamesh Meot Amma, measured 500 cubits by 500 cubits. And of course, if you visit the Temple Mount today, it is far, far larger than 500 cubits by 500 cubits. So what does it mean when we say that it's 500 cubits? And the simple answer is that the Temple Mount area was far greater than the area we call Har HaBayit. Because when we use the term Har HaBayit, when we use the term Temple Mount, we're referring to the consecrated area, not to the entire mountain. So the mountain itself is perhaps larger than the tabletop of 500 amot by 500 amot. And furthermore, the area that today is called Temple Mount was vastly built up and developed during the time of the Second Temple era, specifically during its waning years, when Herod built the most incredible structure, perhaps of all time. So the 500 amot by 500 amot are the actual sacred area of Har HaBayit. And this is very important for us to understand because there are halachic limitations to Har HaBayit. There are things one may or may not do. Not all of those things apply to the entire area that today is referred to as the Temple Mount, which lends some credibility to those who want to go onto the Temple Mount today. But at the same time, since we don't know where that 500 amot is with any kind of certainty, unless we make the assumption which in my humble opinion is a very bad assumption, a bad idea to make, that the Dome of the Rock is built exactly on the Makom HaMikdash, and that we would, by virtue of its location, be able to identify where the 500 Amot by 500 Amot is, which is only a supposition and is not at all certain. So we may be trespassing. And that's why a lot of very observant Jews would never dream of going onto the Temple Mount. And I mean, no offense to those who do go, but my personal opinion is that it's a very bad idea. I wouldn't do it. At any rate, the Har HaBayit, that had a wall around it. Now, incidentally, this was a massive wall. We're talking 20 amot high. An amah is at least 18 inches. So this was a very, very tall wall. And there were five gates that led in. One was found in the west. One was found in the east. One was found on the north. And there were two found on the south side. Just to help you get your bearings. If you've been to the Kotel, that's the west side. If you look across on the other side, we talk about the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is what we refer to as the Kidron Valley is on the east side. So Kidron Valley is, for example, Mount of Olives, Har HaZeitim, Mount Scopus. That's the east side. The south side is where today there's the archaeological gardens. And if you continue going down south, you come to Ir David, the original city of Yerushalayim. The north side is what is in today's day and age referred to as the Arab Quarter, which is more like the Arab Three Quarters. But that's the north side of the Beis HaMikdash. So these were the five gates. And these five gates had Levites posted at each of those gates, and we're going to talk about where exactly they were in those gates. Incidentally, these gates had names. It's not relevant for the Rambam Sichas Beis HaBechira, what names they had. Firstly, because when Mashiach will come, in all likelihood, they'll have different names. And anyway, it doesn't matter where the names are. There's only one gate on the east side. But for, I guess, what you would call a matter of comprehensiveness, I'm going to share with you some of those details. So on the east side, which is That's where people would be coming into the Beit HaMikdash. You're talking now the opposite side of the Kotel in today's day and age. This was called the Shushan Gate. And the image of the city of Shushan was engraved upon it. I imagine it to be something like the skyline. You know, Toronto has a skyline, New York has a skyline, famous cities have skylines. The skyline of Shushan, for all practical guesses, was engraved on it. And this is because King Cyrus of Persia is the one who gave permission to build the Beit HaMikdash. And to honor that, so Shushan was honored in the Beit HaMikdash. The one on the north, so now we're talking the side of the Beit HaMikdash that is not on the City of David side, the side where that is today called the Arab Quarter. So that was called the Tadi Gate. The word Tadi is associated with something called a concealment or hiddenness. And this was used when somebody had to leave the Beit HaMikdash, but he didn't want to publicize it. For example, in the previous episode, we talked about a Levite, or a Kohen, pardon me, who might have experienced a nocturnal emission, rendering him ritually impure, and requiring him to leave the Beit HaMikdash. So it was like a quiet, different kind of gate. Interestingly, unlike the other gates, which were all made of massive doorposts and lintels, this gate was shaped like a triangle. So there was no lintel. Only two doorposts that came like this. And it was a triangle gate, a smaller gate, and that was the gate, as we say, on the north side. And the two gates on the south side are most commonly referred to as Sha'arei Chulda, and there are different reasons for this. The most common or accepted reason is that the prophetess Chulda stood at these gates and encouraged the Jewish people who were coming into the Beis HaMikdash, but perhaps insincerely, to do tshuva, to return to Hashem, and to be devoted heart, mind, and soul with sincerity. And Chulda did this so copiously that eventually those gates bore her holy name. So we called them the Sha'arei Chulda. She, by the way, did this in the first Beis HaMikdash, which indicates that the names of some of these gates was specific to the second Beis HaMikdash. For example, the Shushan Gate on the east side, that was specific to the second Beis HaMikdash. It's also known as Sha'ar HaZahav, as the Golden Gate. but the name Chulda Gates had already been attached to the gates on the south at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, as Chulda, the prophetess, lived during that period. She lived during the waning years of the second Beit HaMikdash, first Beit HaMikdash. In fact, there is a Mishnah that suggests that Chulda wasn't present at a certain point, and the reason given is she had gone to try to bring home Aseret HaShvatim. So that basically places her in the waning years of the first Beit HaMikdash. And we know that there was a lot of insincerity on behalf of the Jewish people during this time, and the prophets and prophetesses railed against this insincerity and tried to bring the people home to tshuva. So that takes care of the gate on the south, and the gate on the... Where didn't we do it? We did east, north, south. We did all the gates. Okay, we're good. So these are the different gates. Sorry, we didn't do the gate on the west. The west means behind the Kodesh HaKadashim, and that was called Sha'ar HaKifanos. The Shilti Gberim says that this is a Greek name, Kifanos, and it means garden. So that would, again, be very much limited to the second Beit HaMikdash, and there seemed to have been a rose garden that was planted outside of that gate on the north side, on the west side. So anyway, on these gates, the Leviim are on these gates, Al-Chamisha Sha'arei Harabayit, and the Al-Arba Pinotav Mitocho, and on the four corners Mitocho. Now, of course, the question is, what is the meaning of the word Mitocho? What does this word mean? So our sages point out, the commentaries point out, that the word mitocho refers not only to pinotav, not only to the corners, not only inside of the corners, that means inside the walls, but it also refers to the sha'arei harabayit, the doors or the gates that went into the harabayit. The Levites were positioned not outside the gate, as you might expect a guard to be, but rather inside the gate. Mitocho. Mitocho refers to both. How do we know this? That's a good question. Well, the thing is that Al-Chamisha Sha'arei Har HaBayit Ve'al-Arba Pinotav, the word, those are kind of two locations, and Mitocho is referring to both of these locations. Now, this can best be understood as per what we learned several episodes ago, that the honor guard of the Beis HaMikdash was precisely that, an honor guard. When a guard is there to protect from theft or from some kind of invasion, you stand on the outside. That's your first line of defense. When you have somebody who's guarding a building, he doesn't guard the building on the inside. You take the fight outside. And then when the opposition arrives, you're going to try to keep them from entering the building. There wouldn't be much logic to having the guards on the inside, allowing your intruders to first come in and only then try to stop them. Right, but this is actually not about preventing intruders from coming into the Beit HaMikdash. As we learned in great detail in previous episodes, this was about showing that the Beit HaMikdash was loved and cherished and honored and respected and held in the highest esteem and awe. And we talked about mindfulness. So the mindfulness means during the night, when everybody was gone, somebody had to be there. Kohanim had to be there. Levites had to be there. Not because they were preventing anybody from entering, but demonstrating that the Beis HaMikdash was always on our minds. So the Levite is there on behalf of the Jewish people. The Kohen is there on behalf of the Jewish people. So the Beis HaMikdash is never left bereft, and that God's presence is always held in the proper esteem or in honor. And this is how we have to understand it. So the idea of mindfulness is not on the outside, the mindfulness is on the inside. Outside the Sha'ar HaRabayit, there is no proverbial holiness. There is no Shekhinah. The Shekhinah begins to be felt or known inside the HaRabayit. That is the consecrated area. So within the consecrated area, that's where the guard is going to be standing, inside at the corners. So the four corners had people who were mindful of the holiness, and as such, lending a certain awe and dignity and esteem and respect to the Beis HaMikdash. At the door, on the inside, we had a Levi standing. And al arba pinota, pinota azara mibachutz. However, when it came to the azara itself, when it came to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and I should have put up a picture like I did in the previous episodes. We'll come back to having a picture right behind me, Bezrat Hashem, in the next episode. But the actual courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash does not include the front courtyard, known as Ezrat Nashim, the courtyard, the women's courtyard, but it refers to something called Ezrat Yisrael. So there was the actual structure, and around the structure there was a courtyard. And that's the next level of holiness. The Ezrat Nashim does not have an inherently different level of holiness, per se. It's not different, halachically speaking, than the rest of the Har HaBayit. All of the Har HaBayit is consecrated in the same way. And that corresponds to the Levite camp in the desert. You can't create this holiness at some later point in history. This is as it was ordained in the Torah. And in the Torah, we weren't in Jerusalem. We weren't even in Shiloh. We were in the desert. So in the desert, there was the camp of Israel, correspondingly the city of Jerusalem as holiness. There was the camp of Levites, and that corresponds to Har HaBayit. And then there was Beis HaMikdash itself. So the camp of Levites is Har HaBayit. There is no secondary camp of Levites. The entire area around the Mishkan was called Machne Levia. It had its own scrimmage. Then we go into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're talking next level holiness. So here, the Levites are posted on the outside. And this is very interesting, because why would they be posted on the outside? Seemingly, they should be posted on the inside. Because, as we discussed, these guards are not here to prevent intruders, but rather to demonstrate mindfulness. If it's demonstrating mindfulness about a certain level of holiness, the area of Har HaBayit is already being minded by the Levites who are on the five gates, and the Levites are on the four corners. So who's minding the Azara? Who's minding the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? If the Levites are standing on the outside, they are minding the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to come back to that in a second, but I do want to point out something very interesting. That when we say that the Levites were standing al chamishe shar habayit, al arba pinotav, what does it mean on? On the door? Al can mean on. So it obviously doesn't mean al, on top of. Al arba pinotav bechutz, on the four corners on the outside. What does this mean? So what it has to mean is al here doesn't mean upon them. It means near them, adjacent to them, in proximity. And this is pointed out by the Mefarish, which is a medieval anonymous commentary. We don't know who the author was, on Masechet Tamid. And on Masechet Tamid, he emphasizes that the idea of al cannot mean upon them, but it has to mean etzlam. And for example, just as it says al chamisha sha'ari ha'azora, just as we understand that on the doors of the Azara, but it doesn't mean on the door. It doesn't even mean in the door. Okay, you say, okay, not on the door. It can't be on a door. So you're standing in the threshold. You can't. Because you have to be on the outside, as we just learned. So if you have to be on the outside, then you can't be in the threshold. So then where are you? Where in the door did they stand? Were they standing like a mezuzah? Were they standing at the doorpost? But they were on the inside. So what reasons to say is that they were at the door. Not on the door, at the door. Probably right in the middle of the door. The area of the door, they were at the door. So at the Hamishe Sha'are Har HaBayit, at the five gates that led into Har HaBayit, they were at the door. At the door probably means in the area of the doorway, which by the way had gates. 10 amot high, enormous doors that were closed. But they were in the doorway. And when it came to the corners, they were in the corners, or at the corners. So if they were at the corners and at the doorway, why is it al arba pinotav, when it came to the azara, they're at the four corners, mibachutz, on the outside? So the Rambam tells us, she'osur leishev ba'azara, because it's prohibited from sitting in the azara. The Rambam doesn't really elaborate on this. However, when we look in the Mishnayot, We hear the same idea. This is actually, it says, al arma pinotav pinotel mibachutz, at the four corners on the outside. Now, I pointed this out to you already, and I'm going to re-emphasize. It doesn't make sense for them to be on the outside. Because the area of Har HaBayit already has Levites. So if these Levites are there for the Azara, they should be inside the Azara, because they're minding the Azara, they're showing honor and glory and respect and awe by being inside the Azara, not outside the Azara. In other words, the Levites who are minding the Azara, which corresponds to the courtyard of the original Mishkan itself, don't seem to be adding anything if they're on the outside. But the Mishnah clearly says they are on the outside. So why is this? So the Bartanura in the Mishnah elaborates a little here. And he says, "Ein yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchei bet David," because there is no proverbial sitting. Nobody gets to sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash save a king from the house of David HaMelech. And incidentally, that only happened once every 7 years in the year of Hakil. For the Hakil ceremony, the king would sit. And I talked about this in great length in the Talmud, our Talmud series on the Hakel, and I refer you to it if you want to understand more about why the king would sit and how the king would sit and what's the origin for that. But that was only for Melech Beit David. And that's, of course, what led Yeravam ben Nevat, the king of the north, to become the wicked king of the north, because he wouldn't be sitting. And King Solomon's son would be sitting, and that would be a problem. Problem for him, because that would show his own constituents that he was second fiddle. And because of this, Yeravam, in his quest for honor and power, in his lust for control, ends up turning the Jewish people totally away from Hashem and his Torah, and that's one of the most tragic stories in history. At any rate, you can't be sitting inside the Azara. Okay, so what's the problem? So the Bartanura says, "V'lo haya efshar l'shomer lishmor ba'amida." It wasn't reasonable to expect a person who is the shomer to stand there kol halayla, all night. Now, remember, once the Beis HaMikdash is locked, nobody comes in and out. So it makes no sense to say, well, we'll have 2 hours, one Levite, and then another Levite will take over. You have a number of watches, as oftentimes is the case, where you have night watch people, where they'll kind of switch over every couple of hours. But the Beis HaMikdash is closed. The campus of the entire Temple Mount is closed. There is no entrance or exiting. So the Levite that's there has to be there all night long. And in a winter evening, you could be talking about easily 12 hours, maybe even 14 hours. To stand for 14 hours all night long, it can be a very difficult thing. Not impossible for everybody, but certainly not possible for everybody. And that would make for a very, very slender amount of Levites that might be able to do this, and why torture them? And because it was impractical to have people standing for 12 to 14 hours, shorter night perhaps in the summer, but truth be told, Beis HaMikdash closes down fairly early in the afternoon, and then the Beis HaMikdash empties. So invariably, you're going to have that 14, maybe 15 hours. So the Levites who were there couldn't be standing the entire time. They'd have to sit at some point. And the problem is, you can't sit inside the Azara. So this is like a technical problem. Because there's a seating prohibition, but conversely, we need to have somebody posted there. And they have a very long posting. So therefore, we have no choice but to place the Levite on the outside of the Azara, even though he's actually minding the Azara rather than the Temple Mount. And Bli Neder, in our next episode, I will have the pictures back up, so you'll have perhaps a greater clarity, be able to understand more of what we're talking about. With Hashem's help, if Mashiach doesn't come before tomorrow, I'm going to continue Halacha Ches, the eighth halacha of the eighth chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. And I just want you to know that by our study of the Beis HaMikdash and talking about this mitzvah of guarding the Beis HaMikdash, we are being mindful of the Beis HaMikdash. And as such, we're quite literally fulfilling this mitzvah in speech and in thought. And may Hashem give us the gift of this mitzvah being fulfilled on our behalfs in action. B'mheira u'b'yameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. Thank you so much for joining. Laila Tov.
So before, outside, the five that were in...